Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
As I said, I think it's an important thing for us on Open House to face up to the very difficult question of such evil and suffering in our world. I'm sure it's been occupying many minds this weekend as we've heard more and more details of this atrocity. Be interested in your thoughts on it too. What have you been thinking? What can you say about a good God allowing such a bad thing? Give us a call on 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. Does it shake your faith? If you're a sceptic, does it make you more sceptical, especially as Anders Behring Breivik describes himself as a Christian fundamentalist from the right, opposed to multiculturalism, immigration and Islam? Maybe you have endured your own pain and suffering and have some answers and experiences you could share with us. I'm sure to be a help on a night like tonight. 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. As I also said earlier, we're very privileged to have Professor John Lennox join us on Open House to work through this very issue. Professor Lennox is based at Oxford University and is on a tour of Australia at the moment with the Centre for Public Christianity. He's one of today's great thinkers about matters of faith. Professor, thanks so much for joining us on Open House.
It's a great pleasure.
John, when you hear that this man labels himself as a Christian fundamentalist, what goes through your mind? What do we say about that?
I feel absolutely sick when I hear that kind of thing. And I'm from Northern Ireland, and it has got quite a history of sectarian violence,
yes,
which also gives the same impression to the public. And I think the first thing I would like to say that my heart just bleeds for the victims of this.
Yes.
But we've got to remember that no matter what this man labels himself, Christian or not, he cannot be a Christian for the very simple reason that Christ himself forbade the use of violence to defend him or his message. That is crystal clear. In fact, Jesus was put on trial because people thought he was stirring up political violence and terrorism. And when he was put on trial, the procurator Pilate at the time exonerated him from it because Jesus said quite clearly, "My kingdom is not of this world, otherwise my servants would have been fighting." And when Pilate heard that, and Pilate was very sensitive to that kind of thing, he wanted no violence in his province, he declared Jesus innocent. And I think one of the points that comes across very clearly there is what Jesus then said to Pilate, that to this end he was born, to this end he came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. The one thing about truth is that you cannot impose it by violence.
Yes.
So I have two reactions to this. I'm ashamed that the name of Jesus ever gets attached to this kind of violence, to the kind of sectarian violence I've seen in my home country. But then I say, people who do this are not following Jesus, they are disobeying him. So they cannot be described in any real sense as Christian.
Professor, regardless of what this man calls himself, this event yet again does raise enormous questions, as I said, about why a good God allows such evil.
Oh, it does indeed. That's a separate, evil. Important question.
Yes. How do you respond to that?
Well, two levels again, because there, first of all, is the visceral side of it. There's a pastoral dimension to this. I often say, you know, cancer looks very different to the oncologist and to the person suffering the cancer. And if you're watching on television, it's very different than if you're a parent of one of those children who was murdered in Norway. And we have to approach it, therefore, from both a pastoral side and an intellectual side. And the intellectual side can seem, at a moment of horror like this, very cold and calculating. But I think we have to do it because it seems to me, and many people say to me, for instance, you know, couldn't God have created a world where this kind of thing didn't happen?
Yes.
My short answer to that is, of course he could. But it wouldn't have been a world full of people who were capable of love. Because it's quite clear that love depends on our capacity to choose. And if people have that real freedom, limited as it may be, nevertheless a real freedom, to say yes, they must be capable of saying no. And it seems to me that one of the sources of moral evil is when people say no. So that's one side of it. So the question now comes, how do we face it? How do we face these jagged edges? How can we still maintain a belief in God? And when I'm faced with moral evil, and I've stood in Auschwitz, for example, many times, and I've wept, atheism is no solution. Because atheism said, well, that's just how the world is, and we have to face it. But what I notice is it doesn't remove the suffering, and it can make it 10,000 times worse, because death in the atheist worldview is the end. There's no hope beyond. Now, because I'm a Christian, I have a massive problem here. But I feel there's a way into it, because two things, really, and I'll come to the heart of them as quickly as I can. The first thing is this, that at the heart of Christianity is the belief that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Now, we all know he was crucified. He suffered. So the question arises, what was God doing on a cross? And at the very least, that says to me that God did not remain distant from human suffering, but became part of it. The second part of it is that Jesus didn't stay on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And that tells me that the death barrier has been broken. And therefore, although I have a massive problem here, I feel that the Christian solution is infinitely better than the atheist one, because I do believe that Jesus is to be the final judge. And atheism has no hope of justice for those people who were massacred in Norway. But Christianity does, because it believes in a God who will eventually judge fairly and rightly. Now, I know it's very difficult to cling on to that, but it seems to me in the choice between atheism and Christianity here, it is Christianity that brings hope into the situation.
And as we seek to come up with some kind of answer, it's not to deny the pain and suffering or downplay it.
Absolutely not. It's to affirm it. And it's a horrible thing. And, you know, I asked myself the question, granted that this is the way the world is, we can argue till kingdom come whether God could, should, would, and all this kind of thing. But in the end, we're faced with ragged edges and pain. And so I turn the question round and I say, are there any grounds still for trusting God in this situation? And the cross and the resurrection give me the only hope. And not only that, they give millions of people hope, because I have seen in my own personal experience and that of friends and watching other people, folk find a window into something that helps them face the pain. It certainly doesn't remove it, but it helps them face it.
John, I know in the last year you've had one particular experience in this regard. In Christchurch, New Zealand, where their earthquake happened, take us through that experience and what you're able to say to them.
Well, I was invited to New Zealand not knowing anything about the earthquake, but I arrived just days after it happened, and the pastors in Christchurch asked to meet me, and I was invited to preach in a huge congregation the Sunday after the earthquake happened, which was a tremendous challenge to me.
Yes.
Because we're not here dealing with the problem of moral evil.
No.
We're dealing with the fact that there are tectonic plates, there are earthquakes, and so on and so forth. And here again, when you probe into this, it's a very strange situation, because my geologist and geophysicist friends tell me that earthquakes are absolutely necessary. The movement of those plates is absolutely necessary for the life and stability of this planet and for its capacity to sustain life. So in themselves, they're not bad. They're not evil. The problem is that people built, perhaps unwittingly, houses on top of them. So we've got to face the fact that the world is actually a dangerous place. But here again, it seems to me, Lee, that the atheist solution doesn't help, because it offers no hope. It simply says, this is the way the world is. Now, what I say to it is this. If atheism is correct, what atheism has got to explain is why there is so much good in the world. But granted that mixed with that good, there is disease, there's illness, there's pain. But when I was in New Zealand, I found one very helpful way, at least to which people really responded. And I said, you know, there's a ring of fire around the Pacific, and there's a ring of fire inside each of us. And I illustrated that by saying a few years ago, 3 years ago, my heart began to give out, and nobody expected me to live. And I was within a few moments of dying. And yet my life was saved. And people say to me, well, don't you thank God for that? Well, I say, yes, I do. But I've got to remember that in the same year that that happened to me, my 22-year-old niece had an earthquake in her brain, a brain tumor that killed her and left her husband behind, and left my grieving sister and her husband. Now, an earthquake of the magnitude of Christchurch, a tsunami, or an earthquake in somebody's brain, it has the same effect on the individual. Yes. The interesting thing to my mind is this. My niece, who died because of the brain tumor, was a Christian. She did not lose her faith. My sister, who lost her lovely daughter and is still heartbroken, has not lost her faith. And the reason is that they find that they've real hope. They're going to see their daughter again because they believe in the hope of the resurrection. So the problem of pain in that sense, of the tectonic plates and all of that, it raises a similar thing to the problem of moral evil. And the only solution I see is this. If death were the end, I would, of course, I'd side with the atheist straight away. But because death is not the end, and I believe in a God who ultimately will sort things out, I really firmly hold to the fact that if we could see what God eventually does, we would, instead of having massive questions and doubts, we'd say, ah, Lord, I understand it now. But we're not seeing that picture yet, so we have to hold on. We have to find grounds for faith. And I believe they're to be found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus.
Professor John Lennox, I'm so grateful for you joining us on such an important question on such a night like tonight. And I actually look forward enormously to a longer chat we're due to have in another couple of weeks on Open House. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, it's a great pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.